Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution, made possible every day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Our upcoming wealth webinar is called Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. And if your concern has led to a stalled retirement plan, Steve and Justin will share their insights and help you feel more confident again. This webinar has a new date, April 14th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited, so sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com, that's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on the InvestTalk tab. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is April 6th, 2016, and today I have with me a special guest.
Very special.
Justin Kline's with us today.
Exactly. It's been a while since we've done a show
together. Yeah, we haven't done it together in a while. That's fine. This is our one-hour forum about managing your money. Above-average investing for the average investor is all that we're about. We want to make you better. Educating yourself is a never-ending process. Educating ourselves is a never-ending process. It's how our effort is focused on understanding how markets work. How do they work? How do stocks go up and down? And of course, to understand this vast topic of investing, you need to break it down into, small individual parts. For someone just starting out, the best place to begin is with simple terminology, like what is a stock market? And for that matter, what is a stock?
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand what a stock is versus an equity, which are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And what does that even mean? Some people think buying a stock, it's like a lottery ticket.
Yep. They think they're gambling. Mm-hmm. My wife has that feeling about that. You're not. You are owning a stock is a piece of ownership of a company. You own it. You actually own it.
A very small percentage.
Very tiny piece. Unless you have bazillions of dollars, you can buy the whole thing, which you can do.
Like Warren Buffett, what's he? I think he's up to 10% of Wells Fargo now.
Yeah, he keeps buying it. Yep. He likes it. Yep. His whole philosophy is to own the whole company. He likes that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can't. Not even Warren Buffett can do that. So then once you know that, you own a piece of the company. How do you value that stock? What makes it goes up and down? Understanding values and why stocks move is a lifetime of study, everybody. You've heard me say it. In the short run, the stock market acts like a spoiled child. One day it throws a tantrum and values of stocks could go much higher, much lower. On a day-to-day basis, emotions reign. These are erratic moves, and you cannot ever know what it's going to do day-to-day. But in the long run, stock prices go up when earnings the prospect of earnings for companies go up. Mm-hmm. And they fall when the prospects are going to go down and earnings are going to go down.
And that's what we kind of saw in the first part of the first quarter was the reaction to earnings projections falling. And I think for the first quarter, earnings are supposed to be down about 7%.
Pretty bad, yes.
Year over year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be good. It's not. Yeah. Now, you're going to, what's funny is you're going to hear all on the news, they beat expectations. Mm-hmm. That's because the experts, quote unquote experts, have beaten down the expectations so far.
And they always do that.
They do it every quarter.
Because they say, the expectations for the full year earnings are X, right? Well, every quarter they do this where, for example, in the first quarter, when the quarter started, earnings expectations were a 1.2% growth for 1.2% growth. And like you said, throughout the quarter, they lowered and lowered and lowered their expectations to where now they expect about a 7% drop in earnings. That's a pretty big difference.
That's a huge drop.
In just 3 months.
Yeah, huge drop. Huge. Yeah. I wrote about the market commentary about that very same thing and about the price earnings ratio, the price of stocks are actually going up, even though the stock market itself is flat for the year or a little bit down, depending on what you're reading, what index you're looking
at. But earnings are going to come out and say, oh, they beat expectations.
Yep.
Well, if you expected your earnings for the year to be down 7% and they were only down 5%,
oh, what a great job.
What would you say? Oh, it was better than I expected, but you're still down 5%, right?
But should the stock price go up because of that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really the question.
Yeah.
So what other questions do you have? You must have some. Or maybe your money questions have nothing to do with the stock market. That's okay, too. We'll talk about any money matters. Annuities, life insurance, real estate. Justin is a real estate
agent.
I don't want to say broker.
Realtor. Licensed realtor.
He's a licensed realtor. You got to be careful. You got to use the right terminology
here.
That's true. So let's take your questions on anything financial. How's that? 888-99-CHART. Here's a question.
Hi. I have a real estate question for Justin. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on real estate market in the Tesla Giga Factory area, which is in Nevada. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, he's talking about the battery factory.
They're building a big battery factory in Nevada. I'm not sure exactly where.
I think
where.
It's in between the Vegas and Reno. I think somewhere out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where. You know, it's certainly going to get that area will certainly get a boost because of the number of workers that
jobs.
Are in that area. Yeah, but you know, when it comes to long term, you're thinking long term. You want to have you want to invest in economies that are diverse, right? That have more than just one sector going for it. You know, that's one of the reasons why California has a fairly strong is a consistently strong real estate market is because we have a pretty diverse economy. We have manufacturing, we have farming, we have technology, we have the movie business, entertainment, we have finance, we have so many different types of industries that if one goes down, well, there's other ones to step in that won't do as bad or aren't doing as bad. So, you know, when you go and try to invest in that one area, you're kind of leveraging yourself. What if Tesla says, in 2 years, okay, our Gigafactory is great, but we're going to make it all automated, right? Where
and they're going to try a lot of that.
Yeah, and they're sure they're going to use a lot of automation. But what if they find another way to have more automation and reduce the number of workers that they need?
Or maybe 10 years from now, what if a new kind of battery comes out and Tesla is not involved in it?
Exactly.
Maybe Mitsubishi comes out with it, or Toyota, or some other big company, GE.
Yeah.
Discovers a new kind of battery, which is revolutionary battery technology. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're stuck. You got to be careful.
Yeah. That's why I always look at how diverse an economy is. Like Austin, Texas, I think is a great place to a good example where they have universities. They have it's the capital of Texas. So they have government. They have a lot of technology. It's kind of the Silicon Valley of Texas. It's kind of diverse, and so those are the type of economies that you want to focus on, not one-trick ponies.
When you're talking about investing, we're talking about investing in real estate.
Exactly.
Starting up a new rollover IRA is pretty simple. But it's just as simple for you to make costly mistakes. So there are some many ways to mess it up, and we're going to talk about how to do it right. That's going to be our main talking point today. The Fed is split on the inflation. According to the recent minutes, half the Federal Reserve the presidents think we are going to have inflation. The other half say, nope, it's not. What's that going to do?
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about. Clearly, wage inflation is
That's a talking up. Point that we will be talking about.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to get that. It's been a while since we did it together. I'm getting back on the cart.
Yeah, you're going to spoil the whole surprise.
All right.
Okay, what congressmen, both Democrat and Republicans, agree on that needs to be done or needs to be fixed, and they're not doing it? What is that? We're going to talk about that too. And don't stop working too soon. Okay? It's a common regret in retirement.
That's don't speaks stop well to you.
Don't stop working too soon. And we're going to discuss those things. And, I do want to talk about how negative interest rates could lead to why would investors go along and buy bonds with negative interest rates? Why? What are the reasons? People have asked me that. Why would anybody do that? Why would you buy a bond?
It's a fantastic question.
And they not pay you anything for it. You're giving them your money by buying their bond, and then you're going to give more. You're not making anything.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. But then why? Why do we have negative interest? Why does this exist? Why would anybody buy them?
And I'm remember this stat. I think it's like $5 trillion or $5 trillion in. Sovereign debt is negative, trading at negative yields right now.
And why? Why would anybody buy that? So I'm going to, I've answered that question before, but I got, I more definite reasons and make it more clear as to why that exists and why someone would buy that. There are very clear reasons why. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Give us a call anytime you want. We'd love to hear from you. The market was up today, 113 points on the Dow, 77 points on the NASDAQ, which was a pretty good move on the NASDAQ. That's pretty leading the way. And 21 points on the S&P 500. The week has been kind of sideways so far.
Yeah, we had a big down Monday, right? Or was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Sorry, yesterday.
Pretty decent down. So you had two down days followed by a small up day, I think it was, on on Friday. So this week you had two down days, and today it made up most of that today. And so now we're kind of moving sideways.
And really the only economic news was the Fed minutes.
Yeah, there really wasn't much out, and there's not going to be much out.
No.
But do you know, most people are ignoring this. We haven't talked about it. We are in the middle, or at least the beginning, of earnings season.
Yeah. Next week starts earnings season. Yeah. Alcoa.
Yeah, Alcoa usually is the leader. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley with Justin Klein today, and you're listening to Invest Talk, made possible by our firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. One of the services we provide free of charge to our listeners is a retirement review. I have a new date on my calendar. I'll be in San Diego County in our Carlsbad office on April 12th. I'll be doing individual reviews via Skype and telephone on the 19th. And then on the 20th, I'll be in San Ramon for another day of meetings. These dates are listed on investtalk.com. To get the schedule, just go to investtalk.com. That's with two T's. And click on the Invest Talk tab. I'd love to help if I can.
Yeah, hi there. This is Joe in San Jose, California. I'm calling to see what the thought is on the gold or the oil. The two in particular I'm looking for are some leveraged funds. One is called NUGT, and the oil is UWTI. So I was just wondering what your thoughts on that were. It's three-time leveraged. Seems like there's days that it's quite a bit of opportunity, and of course there's days that it's pretty well down. So thank you very much.
First of all, I want to talk about leverage for just a second. I want you all to put in your mind that leverage is bad. Leverage means borrowing money or borrowing something. And generally, it's bad. Doesn't mean you never leverage, but you have to be really, really careful. And this one, NUGT, is a three times leverage, 300%. An exchange-traded fund seeking to leverage the New York Stock Exchange Arca Gold Miners Index.
And leverage is for trading. If you're going to use a leverage ETF, that's what he's looking at. He's looking at a leverage ETF for gold miners and a leverage ETF for oil. And sure, as a trading vehicle, they can be good, and you can make some good money if you pick the right direction at the right time. But almost all leverage eventually goes bad, right? And so you don't want to hold these for extended period of time.
Yeah, use them for timing, and that timing is extremely difficult, okay? Yeah.
If I was going to pick one or the other, I would say the gold miners, the nugget over the crude oil. The crude oil one, because you're just leveraging to the price of crude. And the nugget one's going to be very volatile because gold miners are naturally leveraged to the price of gold, and then you're leveraging the gold miners. So, you know, it's usually about three times levered to the price of gold, and then you're three times levering that. So it's like a 10 times leverage to the price of gold. So it's going to be extremely volatile, but if I was going to invest in one, I'd be getting it.
And if you're wrong, you'll lose a fortune.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Three times leverage, I don't really care for it. But you can use it as a short-term trade, as Justin said, but not as a long-term investment. It's just not sound. I'm financial advisor Steve Pizza with Justin Klein. This is Invest Talk. What's the secret weapon for making money in the stock market? There is no secret weapon, everybody. Cut back on your television viewing, maybe. Don't listen to the news.
Is there a secret weapon?
Yeah, there is no secret weapon. But there are things you can do. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. A common function we do at KPP Financial for our clients or prospective clients is to help them roll over their 401k plans or old 401k plans into IRAs because that makes the most sense. You know, we talked about yesterday what you can do with a 401k, but as I mentioned yesterday, the one that makes the most sense is rolling it into an IRA. Well, then how do you do that? What are the process? What steps do you take?
It's a fairly simple process. First, you have to figure out who you're going to open an account with, an IRA with, a rollover IRA with.
The custodian.
So it could be, you normally would think of a TD Ameritrade, a Scottrade, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, which is who we use for our client accounts, etc. And you set up an account there. You could also set it up at a bank or an insurance company.
And notice you have to do that first. Mm-hmm. You have to set up a new account before you even think about rolling over.
Yeah, or it could be a specific fund family like Vanguard, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't recommend that, but that's a good – you have to pick one of those. Then you have to open the rollover IRA, and then you have to request a distribution from your 401k, and usually there's a form that your employer will give, your old employer will give you.
Yeah, remember, this is an old 401k. You can't do this with an existing 401k. There are exceptions when you're older and close retirement, but generally speaking, it's an old 401k you're trying to roll over.
Mm-hmm. And then those assets will likely be liquidated. You'll have all cash, and it moves over into your new IRA. So you have no tax consequences. The money's in this new rollover IRA. You can also do a Roth IRA as well, right? There are tax consequences in that case if it's coming from a regular 401k. But typically, you just do it into a regular rollover IRA, no tax consequences. It's all in cash. And boom, then you can start doing your investing.
That's right. It's not that hard, and you always have money managers such as ourselves. We help our clients, our prospective clients, to do that. It's not hard.
Well,
but there is a process to it.
That process isn't hard. The hard part gets to be when you have that money finally over in that new account and you say, okay, what am I going to buy?
Yeah,
how am I going to invest it?
Yeah, what do you do with it
at that point? And then that's really getting down to doing your research, getting acclimated to investing. What are different asset classes that are available? What are the different vehicles? You can use mutual funds, you can use ETFs, you can use individual stocks, bonds, etc. And then once you decide what you want to buy, then you got to go in and actually make those trades.
And that's, instead of doing that, you hire us to do that for you. See, that's the whole point.
That'll make it really easy.
That's right. Our phone number is always open to your questions. That's what Invest Talk is all about. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number.
Hi, I was just calling from New York. I had a question for Steve on the show. I was wondering about a company, NVIDIA, ticker symbol NVDA. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on the company, what you think about the price, hold, buy, or sell. Thanks.
Okay, this is NVIDIA Corporation out of Santa Clara in the Silicon Valley. Designs graphic processing units used in personal computers, workstations, game consoles, and mobile devices. It's a very good company. Consistent earnings, consistent sales growth, but earnings have been weak the last couple of years.
Yeah, and earnings are expected to decline 13% in 2017 and 3% in 2018. And like we always say, if that's what their expectations are today, then they'll likely be even lower in the future. I mean, that's just the general trend.
And you want to ask yourself why, if sales are growing in the single digits, close to double digits, but usually in the single digits, why is earnings going down and sales going up?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the money going? What is there some kind of new factory you're building there? Why is that happening? That's the first thing in my mind, is why is that happening? Mm-hmm. Are your profit margins being squeezed? Are competitors coming in and taking some of your business? Therefore, you lowered your prices to defend yourself so you can keep growing? What's the deal?
Well, especially since the last 2 years, revenue growth has been in the, call it, low double-digit range, in the low teens, and earnings growth has been in the 20 to 30% range at quarter over quarter. So it's kind of odd to see analysts saying the next couple of years are going to be tough. And based on a 22 P/E ratio, it's a cyclical name.
It's expensive.
it's just expensive. So
and remember, earnings are going down, and that's a high PE ratio.
Yeah, and we've been talking about growth stocks versus value stocks, mm-hmm. right? And this is certainly would be considered a growth name, right. and that's really not the best place to be investing right now. It's to be a large cap growth name, and I would say it's too expensive at these levels.
Yeah, and this is a very good company. We're not trying to besmirk any growth company when we say it's time to look for value versus growth. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to recognize reality in the marketplace and a change that is going on. And it's not that hard to see if you have you do any time studying the market. From the beginning of this year on, you can see that value is outperforming growth. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious looking at the charts of the various indexes.
But even NVIDIA has kind of bucked that trend. It's had a really good year. So, you know, like Steve said, it's not that every growth stock is going to be bad or every value stock is going to be good. It's just generally you've got to switch your mindset. And you know, maybe it hasn't hit NVIDIA yet, right?
That's right. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. A reminder about our webinar next week. It's set for April 14th at 6:30 Pacific Time. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. It certainly has been volatile this year. Sign up now for this free webinar on investtalk.com. Our number, 888-99-CHART. You can call it anytime you want. You can call it right now. So the Fed, according to the recent minutes, are kind of split. Now, just remember that there's like 12 Fed members, 9 of which vote every meeting that they have. And they're kind of split on the direction of inflation. Some feel that inflation is finally increasing, and some feel the numbers are showing that inflation is increasing a little bit. But others feel that that's just going to be a one-time thing. It's not going to last. So why do we even care? You, me, us, why do we care? Because this is going to drive the discussion of whether or not they're going to raise interest rates or not. Inflation is one of the main pillars the Fed uses to move interest rates up or down.
You know what's interesting to me is that at the beginning of the year, they were talking about 4 rate hikes. And now, based on these Fed minutes,
it's 2.
Maybe 2. And what has the market done?
Probably 1.
No. What has the market done? Stock market done?
Oh, well.
It's been flat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are they saying? The volatility in January is all of a sudden causing them to go from 4 to 2?
Yeah. See, it doesn't make any sense. Because remember, they raised the rates in December by, you know, a quarter point alleged, you know, well. We can argue the point, but about a quarter point. Okay, so as soon as they did, the market fell 10% in January.
Mm-hmm.
Then now it's been making all that back because recently they've been talking about instead of raising them 4, they may raise them 2 times, and the market likes that, right?
Yep.
So now what? Now what? Are they going to really raise them 2? Are they going to not raise them maybe 1? What's going to happen now? And the market is going to react.
Pricing in about a 65% chance that they'll raise it 1 time this year.
So what if they raise it more than once? What if they don't raise it at all? See, the market's going to be very volatile this year. You got the presidential election. You got the Federal Reserve who's bouncing around with what they're going to do. They don't even know.
Yeah, that's the thing is people think that the Federal Reserve knows what they're doing. They don't.
They have no clue. They're going to react to just like anybody yep. else to what they see happening.
They say they're data dependent. They're not. They're market dependent.
Yeah, they are.
Because if you look at the data, the growth of GDP has been weak.
But they should have started raising rates a year or two ago. Because of the economy was improving, and they could have raised rates because of that, but they didn't want to because they knew that would affect the stock market.
But inflation has been ticking up a little bit.
Yep.
Job growth has been fine. It hasn't been like amazing. It hasn't been horrible.
So why aren't they raising rates?
Because of the volatility in January.
Because of the market.
They say in their minutes, they've said it time after time ever since 2008, that their goal is to get asset prices up. So if their policy isn't increasing asset prices, then they're not going to do anything.
And, you know, don't take that statement Justin just made as that they are trying to favor Wall Street. That's not their goal. The goal is to make everybody wealthier.
Well,
that you have this wealth effect
exactly.
that will grow the economy.
That's their assumption. The yes. question is that really effective? Well, or is that, at some point, is that become counterproductive?
Yeah, it's not working in Europe.
No.
I mean, they just dramatically increased their QE and they moved, they gave interest rates.
Central banks around the world are pushing on their proverbial string.
Yep.
And that's why we can't get growth going. And when investors, you know, you can't earn anything on your money, well, what's your incentive to go out there and invest?
Well, and also the people around the world are all relying on central banks to spark growth, when really you need fiscal policy to help. The central banks only is one aspect. You got the fiscal policy that needs to be done too. And of course, here in the United States, we're not going to do anything.
Nope.
You know, they've got Congress and nothing.
We got a do nothing Congress, and yep. especially in this year, you have a lame duck president.
Yep,
right.
Not going to happen. Nothing.
And we might have two contested presidential conventions.
Yeah. And one of the contestants could be indicted.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a mess. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, so you have to do your part. And if you have a question between programs, you can still ask us on the next Invest Talk. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Steve. This is Raphael from Jersey talking about a stock, Expedia, EXPE. Looks like it's really in the forefront of the travel industry, and online is consummating everything now. Oppenheimer just said it was their best aggressive idea, and we might have had a psychological change in the markets today. Peg ratio was under 1. Looking to see what you guys think. Thanks, and thanks for everything you do for everyone who listens.
Well, he is right. He had a good observation about today, that it seemed like the tech side of the market, biotech especially, leading the market. But one day doesn't mean a trend, but it was a day which that did lead. So, and Expedia provides airline ticket, hotel room, car rental, vacation packages, cruise services via Expedia.com. And this too is a growth stock, you know, and it's done well.
You have revenue growth up about 25% year over year, but profit growth is down 10% last quarter. And it's been choppy pretty much over the last couple last 8 quarters. You kind of have one quarter where as positive earnings growth year over year, and the next quarter it's negative earnings growth year over year. So it's kind of all over the board. Now, the next 2 years, analysts are expecting huge growth, 41% in 2016, 30% in 2017. But, you know, when you look at the operating earnings yield, it's only 3%. That's very low. Less than 1% dividend. I like that it's paying a dividend.
I don't like that it's carrying debt. I don't like a tech company, new age company carrying debt. And they have quite a bit of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that worries me. That, you know, why should you, you know, you're a growth company and you have a lot of debt.
And a lot of, you have strong cash flow. I just don't like the fact, I don't like the chart. The chart is very weak. You had a big breakdown in November and a huge breakdown in September or January with the rest of the market. And it bounced just like the rest of the market did, but hasn't really gotten above its 200-day moving average. It's still well below its 2015 highs, which are about $140 a share. Now we're at $105 a share.
Yeah.
So I
wouldn't buy it.
I think it's too
expensive.
It's
a great company, but I wouldn't buy it. It's not cheap enough.
Yeah, I'd have it on my watch list, absolutely, but I wouldn't buy it until it's much, much cheaper.
Management owns 25%, so that's a good thing.
Yeah,
the good things about it, but I just wouldn't buy it at this point.
Nope.
It's time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day money choices that can impact our lives for years to come. Questions to ask when you're shopping for a home. Of course, you want to know what the home you're looking for is really worth. Everybody wants to know that. What's the fair market price? You know, you can ask for comps. You know, comps, you know what comps mean. That means comparable prices for the same size home that's been sold in your neighborhood, and how much did it go for. Okay? And an agent can help you with that, a real estate agent. So you can use that. One thing you really, really want to know. is what are the comps? And many times there is difficult to get those comps because it might be too far away, mm-hmm. might be a different house altogether. There might be certain things. And that's what a real estate appraiser is supposed to do, is supposed to take those factors in consideration and come up with a good price for your house.
But that's also how we help our clients figure out what they can get for their house if they're looking to sell it or maybe downsize. We can figure out what are the comps in that area and usually look over the past. We either go 120 days or so, 150 days. What similar properties have sold in that area? And you know, you always have to adjust it. Like you said, it might not be the exact house with the exact same square footage or maybe the exact same condition, but you use multiples and you kind of average them out usually.
Yeah. So yeah, there's many things to look at when you're buying or selling real estate. Well, if you're a seller, you got to be a little bit flexible. How badly do you want to sell the property? Mm-hmm. You know, you still want to get the maximum amount you get, mm-hmm. you can get. But a mistake that a lot of sellers make is they put the house out at a pretty high price and it doesn't sell. Well, there's a thing in the industry that gets stale. Mm-hmm. Your listing gets stale, mm-hmm. because you're too high. And even if you lower the price of the house, everybody's already looked at it, don't want to see it again, and you've lost an opportunity to sell. So you got to be, mm-hmm. You got to be aware of certain things.
In the industry, it's called days on market. So how long has it been on market for? And you know, once you get over that 4-month mark or so, it gets, like you said, stale. And that's why pricing it right is important. So you get the most for it, but it moves in a relatively fast manner.
Now, Justin Klein, you know, who's talking right now, has a team. We have a team we put together here. He's planning a real estate review day to a limited number of our listeners on April 11th. If you're interested in just go to, if you are interested in talking about real estate, listing your house, buying another house, whatever, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Justin tab or button. You'll see it there. And write in real estate review. That's an email that comes in directly to him. Just put in real estate review and he'll give you a call, or someone in the office will give you a call, and they'll set up a time to sit down. That's the Best Talk Personal, everybody. Do you have a topic?
A reminder that Steve will be on Skype and telephone all day April 19th for individual retirement reviews. It's a handy way to take advantage of a second opinion being offered by a registered investment advisor. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Hi, this is Phil in Oklahoma City. Steve has been emphasizing value of late. I was wondering what your thoughts are about International Paper, IP, or General Motors, GM, in that regard. Which would be a better value play? Thanks.
That's a sneaky way about asking about two stocks.
There you go. Good. What was the International Paper and what was the other one?
General Motors.
General Motors.
International Paper, everybody, out of Memphis, Tennessee, manufactures printing, writing papers, market pulp package products and containers. So it's a very cyclical stock. Sales have been falling last 4 quarters into single digits. Earnings are going to be down 8% this year and allegedly rise 11% next year. That's pretty far out. I always get very skeptical about that. Mm. I will say this. It's not an overpriced stock, but neither it's cheap. With 11 PE, you would think that I would say that would be cheap. But not really. Not for this kind of company. You know, it's a $16 billion company. It's a very slow growth, if at all, kind mm-hmm. of company. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it doesn't deserve a market PE of about 15. Doesn't deserve it. Great return on equity, good cash flow, lots of debt. I don't know. I would not say that is a good value. I don't think it's a great value. It's decent. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I think it's decent. I don't love it, like you said, but if you're looking for a value name, good cash flows, consistency, International Paper would be one of them. GM, on the other hand, talking about a business that is more cyclical than International Paper would be. But they also are low growth as well, but also low PE. So if you want safety, I would go with International Paper. If you're looking to take a little more risk, GM would be the play.
And GM does pay a 5.1% dividend, and it's probably pretty safe at this stage, I would think. So take your pick.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I mean, international paper, if you look, I like to look at operating cash flow to know what their operating business is and what you're paying for that. Well, the operating earnings yield on international paper is 14%. GM, it's 10. Both are actually that's relatively high. Both have about a 4.5% dividend for international paper, 5% for GM. I'm picking international paper. Picking one or the other, I'm definitely picking international paper.
Well, I'm not I don't like car companies. I don't like airplane companies and car companies. I had Jerry Klein, the founder of the company, kind of beat that into my head, and I still don't like them.
Yeah.
So it's a personal prejudice of mine. Mm-hmm. So 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, why Congress, okay, what Congress, both Democrats and Republicans agree on, but are that needs to be fixed, but don't fix it. And that is our tax code, especially our corporate tax code. Mm-hmm. Did you know the corporate tax rate, the rate is 35%, and hardly any corporations pay 35%?
Yeah, our effective rate is about near the middle of the pack globally, mm-hmm. but our corporate tax rate is very high. So there's a lot of loopholes in there that allow that effective rate to go down.
Yeah, so today Pfizer and Allergan announced that they're not going to do their deal. Mm-hmm. The whole deal was put together and pushed because of inversion, because of taxes. Because mm-hmm. Pfizer was going to relocate their corporate offices in Ireland. I think that's where Allergan is, in yep. Ireland. Yep. Because the tax rate is much simpler and easier to deal with and lower. Mm-hmm. We have one of the highest tax rates in the world, but we have all these little loopholes and exceptions of a lot of different industries that are favored that brings it down. But not all industries,
nope.
Just some. So our tax code is so messy, and everybody agrees, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter who you are, we all agree that the tax code is really messed up.
They just can't agree on how to fix it.
No one wants to agree on to fix it. Mm-hmm. No one. So it's a big problem. Because you're having corporations make decisions based on the tax code as opposed to what's best for the company and the shareholders. It's based on what's the tax and what can I do about that. Think about all the cash that Apple is holding offshore because they don't want to bring it back here because they don't want to pay the taxes.
Well, it also shows how corporations are having trouble with slow economic growth of finding ways to boost earnings. You know, buybacks are kind of, you're at near the limit of that because the credit markets are kind of slowing down. And now how do you increase profits? Well, let's reduce our tax burden, and that's why they're looking at these things.
Inversion. You're listening to Invest Talk. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Will in San Diego.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call, Will.
Doing great.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah. Listen, before we get into the stock that I'm interested in, why is it that REITs seem to always have a very high P.E.?
They're required. A real estate investment trust is required to pay 90% of their profits out in the form of dividends to the shareholders to qualify to be a REIT. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they always have to pay a lot, 90% of the profits out.
And remember that if you're talking about earnings, and when you own a lot of real estate, what can you do with all that real estate? Well, you depreciate that real estate, and that comes off the earnings number, right? So their earnings are depressed in that manner, but it also that's just the nature of real estate. But they pay out based on usually cash flow.
So that causes the PE to be high?
Yeah, exactly. But if you value based on cash flow, which is really what they're usually paying out, is a lot of their cash flow, most of their cash flow, then it becomes a lot less.
Oh, okay. So then they should be looked at differently. In other words,
yes.
They shouldn't be looked at as being the market PE of about 16. It should be a lot higher then.
And yeah, so what you value REITs from is funds from operation.
FFO.
FFO is the acronym. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, my stock is PAA. That's the ticker symbol. And there's another one I can't really get a handle on whether or not it's a good buy or not.
Okay, PAA is Plains All American Pipeline. It's a master limited partnership engaged in the transportation, storage, terminaling, and marketing of crude oil and petroleum in the United States. We talked about MLPs yesterday and the problems that they have, and that is you get a K-1. Do you know that, Will? You know what a K-1 is?
Yes. Okay. I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Okay, so you get a K-1 when you get their when you get your dividends, and it pays a very high dividend. The other problem is if you have a master limited partnership and it goes under and it owes money, debt that it borrowed, you as a shareholder may be responsible to pay your share of that debt. So not only do you lose all your money in the stock you're buying, but you may have to cough up more money in addition to when you're having an MLP.
And this is a company that has a lot of debt. They are, and it's increasing because their payout ratio is 357%, meaning they're not going to be able to afford that dividend. So if you're chasing that 13.6% dividend, don't feel confident that that's actually going to be sustainable long term.
I would not buy the stock with monopoly money. I would not.
Oh. Well,
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling, but, I wanted to check it out.
Appreciate the call, Will. Thank you very much. Let's go to Joe in the Bay Area. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine, Steve. Thank you. My question regards an IRA. What limitations, for example, in an IRA as far as trading stocks? I mean, I know certain organizations don't want you to do it, more than every 30 days or 60 days or whatever. If somebody's going to trade within an IRA, are there limitations as far as the law goes, or are these limitations put on by the brokerage firm, let's say?
There is no limitations to trade in the IRA. You might be confusing trading in a 401k mutual funds.
I think maybe he's talking about day trading within an IRA. Is that what you're talking about, Joe?
Well, not necessarily day trading, but some pretty maybe
short
something short term. Maybe short term, exactly. Hold a stock a week, a month, or 2 months, three months, or whatever.
I know there are some rules when it comes to IRAs. I'm not sure exactly the exact rules because we don't do a ton of...
When you say rules, there is no restrictions on trading in the IRA unless the brokerage firm puts it in there. You can trade all you want.
Okay.
There's no law against it.
Okay.
You know,
okay, that's what I was asking. Okay, I have my threefold question here.
I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time. We don't have time.
That's why I always say, when I do the show, I say, call in sooner or later because this happens. We go to the break.
Joe, I'm so sorry. If you want to get those two other folds of questions, you got to call tomorrow. Sorry. Our time is up, everybody. A reminder, I will be doing individual return reviews on Skype and telephone all day on the 19th of April. The next day, I'll be in San Ramon. That's the 20th of April. And I have a new date in San Diego County, April 12th. To get on my schedule for that day, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein. We're registered investment advisors, and we have a registered investment advisor firm, KPP Financial, that can help manage you money, your money nationwide. We thank you very much for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.